Ekatra Foundation presents the Ekatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into the life and words of, well, an absolute legend, Muhammad Ali.
Truly an icon.
Yeah. And we're using his own autobiographies, My Story, and The Greatest, My Own Story, as our main guides here. So the mission for you, our listener, is to look past the boxing, past the headlines maybe, and really pull out what his life teaches us about true greatness, you know, in life, not just the ring.
Exactly. It's about his journey, conviction, identity, how he changed.
Okay, so who was he beyond the titles? Why is his story still so incredibly relevant today?
Well, Muhammad Ali, born Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr. back in 1942, he was just so much more than a boxer. I mean, a global figure, really.
Right.
His life touched on everything: sports, race, religion, politics, pop culture. He was right there at the intersection of all these huge movements in the 20th century.
So his own story gives us this unique viewpoint.
Absolutely unparalleled. He lived it. That's the authority he brings.
Okay, let's start at the beginning then. Segregated Louisville, Kentucky. What were those early days like? What shaped him?
Well, you know, the context is crucial. 1950s Kentucky, deep segregation. And then there's that story.
The stolen bike.
Yeah, the stolen bicycle. He's 12 years old. His red Schwinn gets stolen. He's furious.
I bet.
Goes to report it to this police officer, Joe Martin, says he's going to the guy who took it.
Yeah.
Okay. And Martin, who conveniently also ran a boxing gym, tells him, well, you better learn how to fight first.
And that was it, the spark.
That was pretty much it. It sounds small, but boxing gave him structure, focus, took this really energetic, talkative kid and channeled it all. And you see the importance of mentors, community, especially in that environment where opportunities were so limited for black kids.
And that talent obviously blossomed quickly. Olympic gold in Rome, 1960, huge moment.
Massive. Pride for the nation, all that.
But then he comes home.
Yeah.
And the reality hits him pretty hard, right?
Yeah. Oh, completely. It's this jarring contrast. He's an Olympic champion, celebrated worldwide.
Yeah.
And he can't get served at a diner in his own hometown because he's black.
Wow. Still. Yeah. After winning gold for the country.
Still. And that experience, that contradiction, it really crystallized something for him. Athletic fame wasn't enough.
I see.
It wouldn't just magically erase racism. It definitely set the stage for his later thinking, his later choices.
So he turns pro.
Okay.
And his rise is, well, meteoric, but it's also defined by this incredible personality, the poems, the predictions, the trash talk.
Right, which was so different at the time.
Was that just pure showmanship? Or something more calculated?
Oh, it was definitely calculated, very conscious strategy. Sure, it generated publicity, got under opponents' skin.
For sure.
But it was also fundamentally about challenging stereotypes. You know, how black athletes were supposed to behave. Quiet, humble.
Right, not outspoken.
Exactly. He was redefining that. Entertainment, yes, but also empowerment. Saying, I can be loud, I can be confident, I am great.
And that confidence led to that massive upset against Sonny Liston in 64.
Huge. Nobody gave him a chance against Liston, who was seen as this, you know, terrifying, invincible figure.
And Ali comes out shouting,
I shook up the world. I shook up the world, which he absolutely did.
But right after that peak, that victory, comes this huge personal shift.
Yes. Almost immediately. He confirms he's joined the Nation of Islam.
Which was controversial then.
Very controversial. Seen by many as radical, separatist, and then the really big one, he changes his name. Cassius Clay becomes Muhammad Ali.
Talk about shaking up the world again. Why was that name change so significant for him?
Yeah.
And why did it cause such an uproar?
For him, it was profound. Shedding Cassius Clay, which he called his slave name, was about rejecting a history imposed on his ancestors.
Okay.
And embracing Muhammad Ali, worthy of praise, was about claiming his own identity, his own spiritual path through Islam. But the backlash was immediate and intense. Oh, the press, large parts of the public, even some civil rights leaders who disagreed with the Nation of Islam's politics. Many refused to call him Ali for years.
Wow.
But for Ali, it was fundamental. It was about self-determination, religious freedom, defining himself on his own terms.
Which leads us to maybe the most defining moment of his life, outside the ring at least.
Yeah.
1966, Vietnam War raging. He refuses military induction.
Yeah, a pivotal moment. And his reasoning was so clear, so direct.
That famous quote.
I ain't got no quarrel with them Viet Cong. No Viet Cong ever called me nar, just laid it bare.
What was the basis for his refusal?
Hmm?
Legally, morally?
It was twofold, really. First, his status as a minister in the Nation of Islam, he claimed conscientious objector status based on religious grounds.
Okay.
And second, his moral conviction that the war was unjust, racist. A white man's war, as he put it, fought against other people of color who, he felt, posed no threat to him or black Americans.
And the consequences were swift and severe.
Absolutely devastating professionally. Stripped of his heavyweight title almost immediately, boxing license revoked everywhere. Convicted of draft evasion, facing prison time.
So basically exiled from his sport.
Completely. Right in his prime years, too. Mid-67 to late 1970. 3.5 years and gone.
He called them his wilderness years. What did that time look like for him? How did he survive financially, mentally?
It was tough. Financially, he struggled. He started speaking on college campuses, partly to earn money.
Right.
But that also became this platform where he really sharpened his arguments, connected with the anti-war movement, became this powerful voice against the conflict, all while fighting his case through the courts.
So those years didn't break him.
Quite the opposite, I think. They seemed to forge him, strengthened his resolve, broadened his impact beyond sports. It showed his absolute commitment to his principles, no matter the cost.
Like that quote from his book, "I don't have to be what you want me to be. I'm free to be what I want."
Exactly. That just perfectly captures it, doesn't it? Authenticity over acceptance. Defining himself, regardless of what anyone else thought or the price he had to pay.
And eventually, that legal battle reaches the Supreme Court.
Yes, in 1971. And they unanimously overturned his conviction, found that his conscientious objector claim had been wrongly denied. He was free.
Free to box again, after 3.5 years away.
And he comes back to a very different boxing landscape. Joe Frazier is the undisputed champ now.
Which sets up the fight of the century in 71.
Yeah.
What was the significance of that fight?
Oh, it was massive. More than just a fight, it was almost like this cultural battleground playing out in the ring.
How so?
Ali was still seen as the anti-establishment figure, the rebel. Frazier, fairly or unfairly, was often cast as the more mainstream, even pro-establishment champion, embraced by many who disliked Ali's stance.
Okay.
Ali actually lost that fight, his first professional loss, a brutal battle. But even in defeat, he proved he was back, he was tough, and it just set the stage for, well, for redemption later on.
Which brings us to 1974. Kinshasa, Zaire. The rumble in the jungle.
Ah, yes. Against George Foreman.
Who seemed absolutely unbeatable at the time. A wrecking machine.
Yeah.
Ali was the underdog again.
A huge underdog. Foreman had destroyed Frazier, destroyed Ken Norton, guys who had given Ali trouble. Everyone thought Ali was, frankly, washed up, taking one last payday.
But Ali had a plan. A secret weapon.
He did indeed. The now legendary rope-a-dope. It was tactical genius, really.
Explain that. What was it?
Instead of trying to dance around Foreman or trade punches, which seems suicidal,
right.
Ali leaned back on the ropes, covered up, and let Foreman just pound on his arms and body round after round in that incredible Zai heat.
Just absorbing punishment.
Pretty much taunting Foreman, whispering to him, letting him punch himself out. Foreman was throwing bombs, but Ali was deflecting most of them, absorbing the rest, conserving his energy.
Incredible nerve.
Absolutely. Then, in the eighth round, Foreman was visibly exhausted, arms heavy. Ali suddenly explodes off the ropes, unleashes this flurry of punches, and boom! Foreman goes down. Knockout.
Unbelievable. He'd done it again. Reclaimed the title.
Reclaimed the title he'd been stripped of 7 years earlier. It was complete vindication. A triumph of strategy, willpower, and resilience over brute force. Just iconic.
And after his boxing career, his focus shifted again, didn't it? Towards humanitarian work,
yeah.
Diplomacy.
It really did. He fully embraced that role of global ambassador. Lived by that idea he often quoted, "Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth."
What kind of work did he do?
Traveled the world tirelessly, even as Parkinson's disease progressed. He was a UN messenger of peace, met with world leaders, advocated for religious understanding, poverty relief. He went to Iraq in 1990 to negotiate hostage releases.
Wow.
He used his fame, his platform, not just for himself, but for broader causes, for human dignity. It showed how you can transition from one kind of greatness to another.
So looking back at this whole incredible arc, what are the core philosophies, the values that really drove Muhammad Ali?
I think several things stand out. Definitely authenticity, being true to himself, his beliefs, even when it cost him dearly. He just refused to be molded by others' expectations.
That seems central. What else?
Self-belief. That I'm the greatest wasn't just ego. It was a powerful tool, affirming his own worth, especially as a black man in a society trying to hold him down. It was psychological strength.
Yeah, you can see that.
Also, courage of conviction, the willingness to stand for principles like his anti-war stance, knowing the immense sacrifice involved, principle over profit, over popularity.
He certainly paid a price.
He did, which leads to resilience and redemption. His comeback after the exile years shows that setbacks aren't the end. You can fight back, you can overcome, you can achieve redemption.
And finally, that later part of his life.
Service. Using his influence, his platform, for something bigger than himself, for peace, for understanding, for helping others. That became his driving force. And underlying it all, faith. His Islamic faith was clearly a deep source of strength and guidance, especially in those hardest times.
Okay, let's pinpoint maybe three pivotal turning points.
Yeah.
Moments that really changed the direction of his life. What would they be?
Three key moments. Okay, first, I'd have to say the victory over Sonny Liston and the immediate embrace of the name Muhammad Ali and the Nation of Islam in 1964.
Why that one first?
Because it marked his public transformation. Winning the title gave him the platform, but choosing his new identity, that was the moment he declared his independence from societal expectations, aligning himself publicly with his faith and a controversial movement. It set the trajectory for everything that followed.
Okay, that makes sense.
What's the second?
The refusal of military induction in 1966 and the subsequent exile. This was the ultimate test of his principles, choosing conviction over career, fame, and fortune.
Right, losing everything professionally.
Exactly. Those years in the wilderness, fighting the conviction, speaking out, they cost him his prime boxing years, but cemented his legacy as a figure of conscience far beyond sports. It defined his courage.
And the third turning point. I think it has to be the victory over George Foreman in the Rumble in the Jungle in 1974.
The comeback complete.
Yes, but more than just reclaiming the title. It was the culmination of his struggle. He beat an unbeatable opponent using intelligence and will, proving his resilience after the exile. It wasn't just a boxing victory. It was a symbolic triumph over adversity, a full circle redemption that validated his entire journey.
Liston and the name change, the draft refusal and exile, and the Rumble in the Jungle. Yeah, those feel like the absolute core pivots.
They really shape the man and the legend we remember.
So thinking about all this, what are the human lessons here? What can we, you know, listeners today, take away from Ali's life that resonates with our own struggles and triumphs?
Well, I think the first is just the power of defining yourself. Ali insisted on being who he wanted to be, not who others demanded. That struggle for authenticity is pretty universal, isn't it? In our jobs, our families, our communities.
Definitely, yeah. Resisting pressure to conform.
Right. And then there's the whole idea of standing for something. His life asks us, what do we truly believe in? Mm. And are we willing to face consequences for those beliefs? It challenges us to think about our own courage, our own principles.
Even when it's unpopular or costly.
Especially then. And also the theme of overcoming adversity. He faced racism, public condemnation, professional exile, later Parkinson's disease. His resilience, his ability to come back, to adapt, to keep fighting, that's incredibly inspiring on a human level. It speaks to that spirit in all of us to endure and push through challenges.
It really does. It makes his story relatable beyond just the celebrity.
Absolutely. It's about the human spirit, ultimately.
Okay, let's try to boil this down. If you had to give three final takeaways from Muhammad Ali's life and words, what would they be? Let's structure it. An emotional insight, an intellectual one, and a universal life lesson.
Okay, three takeaways. For the emotional insight. I'd say it's the profound power of unshakable self-love and self-belief as fuel for courage. Ali's outward greatness stemmed from an inner conviction, a refusal to internalize the world's negativity, especially regarding race. That self-love allowed him to stand tall against enormous pressure.
I like that. Okay, the intellectual insight.
Intellectually, it's how Ali masterfully demonstrated that a platform, even one built on something like sports, can be strategically leveraged for profound social and political commentary and change. He wasn't just a boxer, he was a communicator, a performance artist, a political activist who used his visibility to force conversations America needed to have. He showed the intersection of culture and politics.
Right, using the tools you have. And finally, the universal insight, the practical life lesson.
I think the most universal lesson is that true integrity often requires significant sacrifice, but living by your principles, even when difficult, is the foundation for a meaningful life and lasting legacy. It's about aligning your actions with your core values, regardless of the immediate cost, because that's what ultimately defines your character and your impact.
Wow, powerful stuff. An emotional insight on self-belief, an intellectual one on using your platform, and a universal one on integrity and sacrifice.
Yeah, I think those really capture the essence of his journey.
Muhammad Ali's story, through his own words, really does argue that greatness isn't just about what you achieve, but who you are while achieving it. It's about that courage to stand firm, turning personal battles into something that inspires us all.
Exactly. True greatness needs that mix of excellence and integrity, talent and purpose, success and service. Sticking to your principles when the world pushes back, that seems to be the core message.
So that transformation from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali, it wasn't just a name. It was everything. Identity, purpose, legacy. It really leaves you thinking, doesn't it? What are you, the listener, willing to stand for when things get tough? And how can you use whatever platform you have to make a difference? Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accotra Foundation.